And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, 91.9, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Nova Scotia, we're talking to you and to all of you out there who are dealing with the day. Not the dead, but the day. I have many dedications today. And I want to remember some very good friends of our community and our station who died 1 year ago, and that would be Mark Josephs, the founder and director of the Tenor Guitar Gathering, which will, if all goes well, go on again this year. And Ann Goldine, who lived right here in Astoria and hosted a couple of shows forever. So I'm just going to play a little bit of Mark, and I think you'll remember. And then I've got some more dedications. Thanks for being here, folks.
Got 11 songs to play for you on my tenor guitar. Won't you listen to my 10 or 11 songs? I've got 11 songs to play for you on my tenor guitar. Won't you listen to my 10 or 11 songs? Way back in the day when I had a 6-string guitar to play, I met up with a quaint little man. He played a small 4-string guitar. He was the best musician I'd heard by far. I quickly became his most enthused fan. As he'd sing, I've got 11 songs to play for you on my tenor guitar. Won't you listen to my 10 or 11 songs? I've got 11 songs to play for you on my tenor guitar. Won't you listen to my 10 or 11 songs? He told me, son, this is a tenor guitar, tuned C-G-D-A. I love the tone and the way it rings. You don't see many of these around, but it's got an intoxicating sound, even if it only has 4 strings. It was the choice of Raben Delmore, Tiny Grimes, and Nick Reynolds. That made it plenty good enough for me. One day you might feel it's good enough for you. You're a young fella now, so we'll just have to wait and see. The years rolled by, flashed by really, when I went to the music store. It was long past time to replace an old set of strings. Hanging on the wall that day was the old man's tenor guitar. I strummed it open, and it started to sing. I walked out with his old guitar and a tenor banjo chord book. Those 4 strings sure had a full, sweet sound. At jam sessions with other musicians, I started having more fun. I was the only tenor guitar guy around. I was watching an old movie on the television featuring Louis Armstrong's band.
In back of Louis, well, folks, that's Mark Josephs, and I have to say that every time I hear that song, it makes me smile. We sure miss him. And we certainly miss Ann Goldine around here. So I also want to send a shout out to my friend Roberta's family. She passed yesterday. So it's been quite a season. And it will continue to be. Got one last piece, and this is my dedication for the day, the year, maybe the next 4 years.
You who scribble on walls with your minuscule minds, you who make midnight calls, you who rattle my blinds, the violence you preach is the core of your creed. Well, you don't speak for me. You call yourselves patriots, swastika style. You feed on the fear of the ignorant child. There's no love of nation, nor people, or land in the hatred behind your smile. You don't speak for me. No, you don't speak for me. I've seen where you come from, I've seen where you lead. It's a poisonous fruit that grows from your seed. You stir up the hatred till something explodes. Well, you don't speak for me. You who slaughter free creatures and then call it sport, you proudly display the corpses you've shot. You talk about freedom and rights and control, but you don't speak for me. You who poison airwaves with Genghis Khan views, you broadcast your bias and call it the news. You say that you speak for the millions out there and deny that you're lighting a dangerous fuse. Well, you don't speak for me. No, you don't speak for me. You don't speak for me. You don't speak for my friends. We've followed that line, we've seen where it ends. Intolerance, hatred, division and strife, you don't speak for me. You who march in your hundreds of thousands for peace, you who work for political prisoners' release, you who fight the injustice of women ignored, you speak for me. You who combat apartheid wherever it's seen, you who struggle to keep the unique forest. Fight for the rights of all people in chains. You speak for me. Yes, you speak for me. You speak for me.
Judy Small, telling it like it is, and I appreciate that. Well, you are listening to Coast Community Radio, Arts Live and Local. And my first guests are here, and I think that song, which I chose for the timing of today, but I think it fits well with what they're doing here in our community. It's the Liberty Theater. Liberty Readers Theater is presenting Ariel Dorfman's Death and the Maiden. It's a drama, and you're going to hear all about it. I'll just let you know that it is running for Wednesday and Thursday, 2 weeks. This coming Wednesday, the 25th, and Thursday, the 26th, and then the next week, February 1st and 2nd. So I have with me Kate Brister. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Carol.
On the other side of the mics of the table. And Derek Moore. Hello, Derek.
Hi.
And Bill Hamm.
Hi, Carol. So we're still on the air, right?
Okay. Yeah. We have two KMUN programmers here with us and a vibrant guest who makes himself.
He's shaking. That
doesn't I'm on display.
He does show up. He does show up on a regular basis. So I'm going to ask you to, Bill, tell us a little bit about this play, about Ariel Dorfman, if you know, and then we'll go from there.
All right. Well, this is a play. Is there more? Okay. Well, Ariel Dorfman is. She is still with us.
He.
What did I say? Did I say she?
Yeah.
Well, I meant
it could be a woman's name too.
Well, you know, so Ariel. that's how up I am on him.
It means Lion of God.
Vladimiro, in fact, Ariel. See, if I knew it was Vladimiro, then I would have been able to say.
Right, he's got a Russian.
Definitely a male.
Russian first name because his.
So we're off to a great start here. So, yes, he is a playwright, Argentinian by birth, I believe, but lived in Chile for a number of years. During the later period of Allende's administration, and then when Pinochet took over, remained there during that and was a fierce critic of Pinochet. And a lot of the work that Mr. Dorfman has written is informed by that, I think. Informed by the life in an oppressed society, which I don't know why that would seem like a relevant thing now, but in an occupied society and in the aftermath of that society as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's where this play comes in. Mm. Though it doesn't, it's not stated that this takes place in Chile. It's an unnamed country, but definitely informed by the aftermath of the Pinochet regime.
Mm-hmm. Right. And also, Ariel Dorfman lived in the United States because he was exiled from Chile.
Yes, he
Or he would have been killed.
Yes.
And did go back, though. And so this play is, as you say, in that period. Can you, without giving too much away, you or anyone else want to talk about the story?
There are three characters in it.
Okay.
There is the character I play is named Gerardo. Kate's character is
Paulina Salas.
Paulina Salas, and then
I play Roberto,
who is a doctor.
These two are married, mm-hmm. and I come in as the third party who picks up Gerardo on the street,
right,
with a flat tire, and that's how I get introduced into the. Mm-hmm. Into their world.
Right. And although, well, again, we don't want to give too much away, but she may be familiar with the doctor. The doctor may be somebody who was sort of instrumental in her past.
I'm going to take this over to Kate.
Please,
Kate Brister,
do.
Who plays Paulina. who is the wife of Gerardo, who brings home Dr. Roberto. What would you like to say about that, Kate, and how it feels to play that part? Tell us whatever you feel.
Well, you know, Bill's trying not to give too much away because, frankly, it's a play without a great deal of plot. It is an absolute moment of time, and it leaves everyone unresolved.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much an ensemble piece. We're excited to be working together. But what happens is a random incident that happens on the road. He brings a man home who was a good Samaritan, and though she's blind, was blindfolded during that time, she may recognize him as one of her torturers.
Right. And I think that this is, I don't have to think, this is definitely based on real circumstances,
mm-hmm.
not these particular characters, but this is the kind of thing that goes on all the time, including right now, today,
right.
in various countries. So how does it feel to play that part, Kate?
It
must be difficult.
Well, I've never had my life threatened. I've never been absolutely worried that the next thing I say could hurt me or someone I loved. But I've had moments of absolute tension, perhaps we all have, perhaps even with an authority figure, where we say, no, I'm telling you the truth. You have to believe me. You must believe me. And what it feels like to not be believed. And so you think about that, and frankly, physically, I've stuck my finger in a light socket before. I can imagine what that must be like to experience that in totality. And this is... It's very challenging. It's not a heck of a... It's fun. The work is fun. I think the men would agree that work is really fun and very invigorating. But it's not a joyful, happy experience at all. It's very difficult art.
Yeah. So when you said it's unresolved, my understanding is that we in the audience, and perhaps you on on the stage, nobody really knows. Well, I guess you on the stage do.
Some of the themes that really resonate in this play, I think, are that of guilt and that of justice. And what one does in the pursuit of justice, I think. And I think it might bring a lot of people's preconceived notions on that score into question.
Good.
You know, you end up coming away from that play, I think, with a lot of, I mean, there's going to be a lot to chew on, I think, after this, after
good.
This play.
Good.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, Derek, playing the possible, again, we don't know for sure, but as Kate said, the Good Samaritan, who turns out to potentially have been the horrific person, how is that for you to play as an actor? You have to be kind of subtle because you're not giving it away.
One of the reasons I like acting is you get to be something other than you are most of the time, and explore what it would be like to pop under the skin of somebody who's very different than you. So from that perspective, I love it because it's allows you to have empathy for everyone in the world, depending on what character you are at any given time. In this situation, there's a lot of decisions to make in terms of how to portray that. This character clearly was a doctor trying to help people. Who knows what line was crossed or not. But the focus, I think, even for my character, is to help accentuate Paulina's story, which is because it centers around what happens to a person when they undergo severe drama, torture, you know, that kind of thing. And I think that's what is really being investigated by all three of us. We're pointing in that direction.
Right. And one thing, too, as I think about Roberto's character, Paulina will have never seen him until that night. So she's looking at a lot of other clues. And one of the secondary themes that I think about in terms of his character, Roberto, is that he deeply loves music. He's a cultured man. And they both love Schubert. They both had, how can I share this deep, passionate love with a monster?
I think we're going to stop talking about the play because I think, well, I think we've given a good taste of how powerful this is. It is obviously, from what we've said, it's adult content.
Very much so.
For mature audiences. Parents, you may decide, or adults, you may decide whether to bring a younger person, depending on their personal maturity and how much talking you're doing with them. Right. But for those people who have spent a lot of focus on whether it's Latin American countries or the Holocaust or what's going on right now all over the world, it sounds like this play is going to be, as you say, stimulating a lot of discussion. I would love to see people go out afterwards and talk about it, too.
Because it has won a Pulitzer Prize, and it was also made into a movie.
Right.
Version as well.
Who was in the play?
Glenn Close opened it with Gene Hackman playing the doctor.
And Richard Dreyfuss was the...
I know, and I have such a crush on Richard Dreyfuss. And then Sigourney Weaver did my role in the movie.
With Ben Kingsley as the doctor.
So, as you can see, this is an extremely sophisticated play. Ariel Dorfman is highly acclaimed. Check it out on the web. Arieldorfman, kind of like Erica Dorfman, who used to be here. It premiered in London, and then it came to the United States.
That's right.
So, well, thank you all for doing this hard work. Thank you, Sen Incavo, who is your director, and thanks to the Liberty Theater for allowing this kind of thought-provoking work that we all always need, but especially now, I think will be beneficial. Mm. So again, this is happening at the Liberty. That's the Liberty is on 12th and Commercial, but the entrance for the Reader's Theater is on 12th Street, mm-hmm. just south of the of Commercial, and it is playing January 25th and 26th, and February 1st and 2nd, and you can get tickets at the box office at the Liberty.
And it's at 7 p.m., not 7:30. 7.
7.
And did I in the say? McTavish Room upstairs.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Carol.
Thanks, Carol.
Kate Brister, Derek Moore, and Bill Hamm.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Yes. I have some music for you. Speaking of music, music from my next guests. Let's start out with a piece from Maggie Kitson. Also appropriate.
Just like that river, I've been rolling ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh yes it will. It's been such a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh yes it will. So I go to the movie and I go downtown. People keep telling me, Maggie, don't have
That's Maggie Kitson, and Maggie is here with us, along with Adams and Costello. That would be Julie Adams and Michael Costello, and they are all performing tonight at Gala, and that's the home of Hipfish on Marine Drive between 10th and 11th. In something called Freedom Follies, and it's doors open at 8, it starts at 8:30 and goes till I don't know when, maybe all night for all we know. So Maggie, first of all, welcome to all three of you.
Thanks, Carol.
Thank you. Okay.
We have one shy person and then two powerful women because they're ready for the women's march. They're marching right into KMUN. So I understand this was your concept, is that right?
Yes.
So tell us what it is.
It is called the Freedom Follies.
Yeah.
And it's tagged as a new paradigm, alternative, inaugural performance, revelry.
Phew, That's that's got a lot of stuff there. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? Tagging's important.
I'm going to use a term I have never used, but I read it all the time. Could you unpack that for us? I'm not really big on unpacking.
Break it down.
Yeah. Go ahead and tell us what's going to be happening and why. Why you wanted to do this.
I was inspired by this quote that I'd love to read.
Please.
Over the air, by Howard Zinn. And he says, I lift my spirits by remembering the artists are on our side. I mean those poets and painters, singers and musicians, novelists and playwrights, who speak to the world in a way that is impervious to assault, because they wage the battle for injustice in a sphere which is unreachable by the dullness of ordinary political discourse.
Bravo.
And
Howard Zinn, one of my life heroes. Yeah.
Yeah, he's
so
great.
So you decided to do what? What's going to happen?
We decided to do something alternative to this day, which is January 20th. And we know what else it is today. But also, it's my birthday.
Happy birthday, Maggie. That's right. Oh, my goodness.
And
how
so
wonderful.
I didn't want to celebrate it crying, right?
So you're throwing yourself a great big party.
That's exactly right.
And inviting the whole area, not just the town, the whole area. That's terrific.
Because everybody wants to get out and have a different frame of mind.
Right.
And when we stepped up and announced that we were going to do this, we had incredible people wanting to be part of it. And to name a few, these two sitting right here,
yes.
Adams and Costello, I'm so excited about them coming, and we will talk about that later. I know.
And they have a brand new CD, which we're going to hear something
from, too. And that is so beautiful.
I've
heard it, and it's just
beautiful.
Gorgeous.
You better believe it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the name of the CD, yes. Of course. I love it. I get to put that
Isn't
in.
Isn't she clever?
Yes.
You think she's
done
this
the
before.
One who's clever. Who else you got?
Let's see. We got Shecky and Pee-wee. They're going to start us out.
Okay.
And we've got Patra Monroe, who's going to be reading her country western haikus.
Oh, my. That should be interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
And Lori Kaplan is the we didn't want to make it too political, but we did slide a couple things in. And Lori Kaplan's going to speak about the Women's March because she's one of the coordinators of
right.
that.
Good.
And we got Nancy Cook, who's a poet.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas Williams, the infamous. I'm
yes.
so excited to see him because I haven't seen him for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And John Clume,
Colm,
who is a poet and comedian, evidently.
Right.
I've not
Across
seen John.
The river.
Looking forward to that. Yep.
Yeah. And a farmer. Go ahead.
Is he? Oh, cool. and Duck and Fish.
Who's that?
Duck and the Fish. They're a duo. I think they might be Latin-based music.
I have no idea.
I think it's piano and guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Abe Lincoln's coming.
Oh,
he's
that
resurrecting.
Would be Walt,
yeah,
right?
Walter Trumbull. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's fabulous.
And then the Q Choir.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Dida DeAngelis. Is it Dida?
Dida, okay. Who sings with the Q Choir? Boy, has she got a voice.
Oh, awesome. Well, she's going to do
right
a couple
off.
Songs with recorded backup, so
okay.
that'll be cool.
Okay.
Yeah, and then Swing Cats of Astoria, which has a new lineup. Richard Tomasian is the founder. On bass will be Ted Brainerd, and on drums will be Lawrence Aldred.
Ooh,
usually
nice.
John Orr plays guitar with them now, but he won't be coming, I don't
That's going to be terrific, though.
Yes,
Are people going to be able to get up and dance?
Oh, yeah, all dancing
right.
all night long. And
okay.
Dinah's going to sing a song with them as well.
Of course.
And then my daughter, Bridget,
yes.
is going to sing with Maggie and the Cats, the first song, and she's going to do an original tune of hers.
Great.
I'm so excited about
Great.
It.
Great.
It makes me want to cry because she's been rehearsing all day.
I bet. And
sounds so beautiful.
And I want to give her a special shout out because she's been doing some wonderful stuff. And life hasn't been easy on her,
That's
but she's
right.
done the best.
Oh,
she
and it's
her,
great for them now.
She and her partner, Sam,
yes.
done a beautiful job of healing.
Yes.
And showing what you can do when you bring love instead of violence and hatred. So it sounds
That's
like
right.
this night, I can see why it's going to go on all night because you got quite the lineup.
Well, Maggie and the Cats don't go on until 11, so... Yeah, so that's an indication.
This is, you know what's great, though? There's so much going on in town tonight, including my next guest, plus, of course, The show All in the Timing, which is this weekend only, it was last weekend, at the Performing Arts Center at 7:30, and it's a terrific play. And the Acapella Fest is in Seaside, and the Hoffman has Midwinter Blues, Water 2, and Sand Trap with Three for Silver, and the Adrift with the Jackal. There's so much going on tonight. People can do everything and then come over to Gala, Hipfish, and enjoy themselves.
Yes.
Fantastic. Well, you know what? I'm going to put on a little bit of, since I haven't, I've heard things off the web, but I haven't heard your new album. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do I call you Adams and Costello or Julian Michael? I don't know.
I think Julian Michael.
Okay, Michael's great. Got laryngitis of the mind, so he's not speaking. But Julie, I think, can hold that, hold the line there. So let's hear a little of their music, and then we'll be right back at you.
You're trying to break me, and I am unbroken. You're trying to make me, my will's unspoken. I got an army of tears in my confession, and I got some wisdom in these years. Baby, you need a lesson. I am so small, but I am invincible.
Invincible. I love that word. Julie, tell us, is this your first album or what's the story?
This is actually our second album. This is my first songwriting debut on the album.
So this is your original song?
Yes, yes.
Oh, wow. Boy, talk about timing. Singing about being invincible on January 20th.
Yes, I think it's very appropriate 2017. Today.
I think so, and it's also terrific. You sound wonderful. So what's the deal on the two of you? Who plays what or sings or what? How does it work?
Well, we love making music together, and we both play guitar. Michael plays electric guitar and acoustic guitar. I play rhythm acoustic guitar, and we both sing. So we both write songs and take turns. So we're having fun.
And you live now in?
Cannon Beach.
Cannon Beach. So that makes them local folks. That means we'll be having them back on the radio. I'm going to not give them any more time today because we're going to bring them back and give you a full understanding of who they are. But in the meantime, all you have to do is come to Gala tonight and you'll find out and experience the music. Do you know what where you are in the program?
We're around 8:50, I think, 8:55, somewhere in there.
Okay.
Yes.
That's our start
55.
Time. Yeah.
Okay.
So
great.
Somewhere in the middle.
Give or take a few.
Hope to
see you.
I was going
to
say, I'm sure it's going to be exactly
know?
On time.
8:55.
Wait, did you say this is happening at Gala with Dinah?
Yes.
And it's going to be on time, of course.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Hey, folks.
We laugh.
Thank you so much for having Freedom Follies. Come out, celebrate Maggie. Don't forget to tell Maggie happy birthday. Listen to all these great musicians. Come on over, even if you miss Adams and Costello this time, you'll catch them next time. But do come and celebrate, because that's what our community is all about. That's the only way we're going to get through it and make sure life is really worth being together. And the Women's March is tomorrow. It is not just for women. It is for everyone who cares about good values. If you know me, you know what that means. Gather at 11:30. The march starts at noon. And if you're listening to me somewhere else, then find out where your closest march is and attend it. Hey, thank you, Maggie and Julie and
thank you.
Michael.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you, Carol. Okay. And, oh, we ran out of that song, so I'm going to leave a little bit on. But actually, I think I'm going to move to my next guest's song because he's waiting out in the wings. So let's have a piece from Nick Jaina. And if you live around here, you've probably heard of him because he's been coming and doing good stuff in our neighborhood. Thank you.
become everything that you want. I'll become every signal, every spark. I'll become all the swans in the park. I'll become, This is our list of things I'm afraid to say. I can't believe that it's taken until today. All of my life is a box waiting to leave. I can't.
You're listening to the music of Nick Jaina from his album Primary Perception. Oh my, there's quite a group on this, and I'll let him tell you about the lineup. We don't need all the. Oh my, looks like a polygraph test is going on in the picture, which is rather appropriate considering the content that we've been talking about. The name of this is "I'll Become Everything," Nick. Welcome to KMUN.
Hello, thank you.
Finally.
Yeah, finally.
I've been looking forward to meeting you, and okay, I'm going to bring down the music because I want to listen to the words too much, and I actually need to be listening to you. So, wow, you are here on a double bill. You're from Portland these days, is that?
Yeah.
Where are you from originally?
California, Sacramento.
Oh, Sacramento. Okay. never mind. Anyway, that was my first West Coast home with Sacramento.
Oh.
Yeah, not for long, however.
I've never heard someone have that reaction to Sacramento. Well, they usually say, I've been to the bus station.
No, I was there for 2 full months, actually house-sitting for an artist who had a gallery there, Le Sauk. And so I've got lots of memories of people and some of them still live there.
Interesting.
Yeah. And you have come here this weekend, though, because you're doing, as I say, a double gig tonight. You will be at the Liberty Theater downstairs in the theater. And folks, if you haven't been to that theater, you better get over there because it's a gorgeous space. But tonight is something unusual, and I'm going to let Nick tell us what it is because I don't really know. It's called Hearts and Brains, a Musical Lecture. I'll just tell you that tomorrow, Nick's going to be at the Sou'wester in Seaview, the Sou'wester Lodge and Trailer Park in Seaview, Washington, with a prose writing workshop. So tonight at 7 o'clock at the Liberty, what are you doing?
I'm a musician, and I wrote a book a couple years ago, and so I was doing readings for the last 2 years, and I didn't want it to just be dry reading. I wanted to involve music, so I started looping music to create my own soundtrack, And then I thought, well, I should add visuals here. And so I started making
collages
and finding different images to project. And then I got a little tired of reading from the same book for 2 years. And so I wrote some new stuff. And I thought, if it's one theme and I write this piece on it and collect images and do a show, what would that be? And I thought, well, I guess it's kind of a lecture because it's informational, but it's musical and it's kind of a different thing. I haven't necessarily seen anybody do this before, but it just was all the elements that I wanted to do, and I've just been working on it for a while, and this is definitely the best venue that I've done it in.
It's a gorgeous place. So this isn't your world premiere of this piece.
No, not really.
But it sounds like it could be a little different every time you do it, since
it's been a work in progress, it's trying to figure out what it is and how it works, and how much talking to do, and how much music to play. And
so, it's a solo show.
It's a solo show. So I loop guitar and I create the soundtrack and I project video and images, and I read from this essay, and then I play songs, and it all kind of blends together for an hour. And it's just sort of like kind of like the way a podcast has music and talking and songs, and kind of like the way, I don't know.
It sounds pretty unusual to me, actually. But here's the interesting thing. Nick just told us it's an hour long, which means that what I just told you with my last guest, this is perfect. If you're coming to Astoria, come on over to the Liberty Theater, 12th and Commercial, at before 7 o'clock, so you can be seated and happily ready for this multimedia presentation at 7 o'clock. And when he's finished, whenever that is, you might have some questions for him. Is that a possibility?
Oh, yeah,
or you,
sure. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. He's accessible. And then
I might have some questions for them.
Oh, there you go. Oh, my God. This sounds like so much fun. Okay, so what was the book that you had written and were reading from, and what is the book that you're dealing with, or the writings that you're dealing with now?
So I wrote a book called Get It While You Can. It was nominated for the Oregon Book Award last year for nonfiction. Mm-hmm. It's a memoir and a collection of unsent love letters. It's just a very heartfelt book about getting through hardship. And I toured the world for 2 years with that book.
Oh, wow.
And did hundreds of shows in living rooms and prisons and clubs. And I was here a couple times. I was at the library in Astoria this summer. I was at Kala a few months ago. Southwester, of course. And I just sort of morphed into starting to write new things and bring that in and trying to make it a more cohesive presentation.
It sounds like you yourself are a multimedia person. So
yeah, just by necessity. I mean, I just was like, well, I don't know who else is going to make these images. I'll make them, and I can play guitar, so I'll do the music, and you know.
But you also And what's the writing that you're doing now? And then I want to go back to the music for a second.
Yeah, the writing. I don't know if it'll be a book. It's specifically for lecture format, and it's just sort of inspired by the lectures of Murray Ruffel, who's a poet. Impressionistic lectures, like, so it has information, but it's also poetic, and it's not boring.
Good.
But there's information in there,
I and can't
it's just
imagine
sort
that.
Of like goes into sort of more impressionistic imagery and bounces back and forth between those things.
Okay, because so I'll segue into what else I'm interested in, and that is that you have a new chapbook, How to Enjoy Dance.
Yes.
And you have, this is not just a fanciful, well, it may be, but it's all, but it's also the fact is that you've, helped found the Satellite Ballet and Collective in New York City and wrote soundtracks or music for it? What's
yeah,
going on?
Yeah, music director, composer for it over the last 5 years.
So what's your connection to dance?
I just stumbled into it. I played in a venue and somebody asked me to make music for dance and I just started doing it. I just didn't say no.
And this is what kind of dance?
Contemporary, but we worked with dancers from the New York City Ballet and Juilliard and really great, you know, New York.
Yeah.
People can dance there.
Okay, so yeah, as you can see, that's why I said he's a multimedia guy, because seems like Nick's somebody you want to get to know. And by the way, we can never guarantee anything, but it's not like he's an old man. Not even close. I mean, at least not to my eye. I'm not sure how old, if you want to say, how old are you?
Oh, I'm still young. Yeah, I'm kicking around.
Yeah.
Not even 40 yet.
Yeah, that's what I would say for sure, easily. So, but tonight's a great night to catch him at the Liberty in a beautiful venue, 7 o'clock, so you've got time for everything else as well. And it is Hearts and Brains, a musical lecture. And it's got the music and the lecture, and now we find out it's also got the projections. Is that what you're doing? Of visuals as well. So it's an entire exciting show.
Immersive. It's immersive.
Immersive. I like it. I like it. And if you're shy, you can sit a little bit further back, although it's going to be a smaller. But if you're not, go ahead right up front and interact. Yeah. Get ready to do that. So, and I'm very happy again that you do come and go to Astoria. So,
yeah, I love it here.
Yeah, good. You can move here anytime, but in the meantime, you know, at least keep coming. That's the important part.
Thank you.
You still writing music for dance or for films and plays?
Yeah, whenever I have time, I'm devoting this year to writing a book, so that'll take the focus. But
okay,
yeah. I love working with, playing music for people that are dancing is the best thing that you can do.
Wonderful, wonderful. Nick Jaina, that's J-A-I-N-A. Is there a website?
NickJaina.com.
There you go. That's why I spelled it. That made it nice and easy. Check him out. And if you're local, come over to Liberty and catch his act tonight. And then you can talk to him or check out what's going on at the Sou'Wester, which is always exciting stuff because he's going to be doing a workshop tomorrow. Is that
tomorrow
right?
Tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
10 to 2. Okay, and then in the evening they have music at 8 p.m. with the Pining Hearts. That seems to be appropriate as well. Okay, thank you so much for coming in, Nick.
Okay, thank you.
And I look forward to next time, and you're getting more books.
Yeah.
Okay, tonight at the Liberty. I've got one more piece of music here, and then my last guests are coming in. And the music I'm going to play is not what they're going to be playing. This is a Jim Page piece from his Ghost Bikes. This is one grave disappointment that I have had in the last couple of days, and that is that Leonard Peltier was not given clemency. And damn it, he should have been.
Loan me a minute, let me borrow your ear. I'll sing you a song about Lenny Peltier. He's gone so long in a federal jail, the innocent victim of a tangled tale. In South Dakota, where the fear was thrown, the president's a watch from a mountain of stone. They said all people were free to roam. There was a struggle for freedom in the Indian home. How many have gone before? Tell me how many more must be lost to the Indian wars. The company spoke to the high command. We need the deeds to the Indian land to dig for oil and uranium ore, and maybe have to start a little Indian war. The orders came from away on high, and if it was a job for the FBI, it won't be hard. All we'll have to do is just cause a little trouble and follow it through. In Oglala, where the spirit did dwell, it was a time they remember well. The women and children were gathered there when the wind blew a warning through the whispering air. And Leonard Peltier was one of those who came to the call when the time arose. And dangerous strangers are prowling around, bringing trouble to the reservation grounds. And that was when the agents made their play in a gunshot battle on a deadly day. And three men died in Lakota land, two FBI and an Indian man.
How many have gone before? Tell me how many more must be lost to the Indian War. Joe Stunts was a man that died that day, but the eyes of the law didn't see it that way. All they cared about was their own kind. I'm gonna get somebody for a capital crime. The charge was set for homicide, but Leonard got away to the Canada side, where he lived for a while in the northern town.
That's a song for Leonard Peltier, who was not given clemency. I appreciate the people who did get clemency. Thank goodness. They all deserved it, and so did he. Well, my last guests are very exciting as well. I'm exhausted. All these fabulous, exciting people. More music. And one of the things that goes on in this town, which a lot of people are not aware of, and by the way, I should tell you that tomorrow night, we have Catherine Clare at the Peninsula Arts, Moody Little Sister and Arch Cape at a house concert. Call me after the show if you want to know more. Astoria Events Center has Bruce Smith and band. Of course, Southwester with Pining Hearts in the evening, Nick Jaina in the morning. And the Maritime Bar and Grill has Louder Than Moe's. And then on Sunday, a Women's Voices concert at noon at North Fork 53 in North Tillamook County, and the Fort George with Wheezy Ford. Lots more going on, but I just grabbed a few of those. So, as I was saying, one of the music venues, which you may not, how do you like being called a venue? What do you think about that?
It's just a house party.
Right. I just realized when I said that word, venue. That is the voice of Ray Lund, and we... many of us have been very fortunate to hear some exquisite music at the Lund's house concerts, or house concerts. And there is one coming up this Sunday at 2 p.m., and it is the Bodhi Trio, that's B-O-D-H-I, and I have the violinist from the Bodhi Trio, Kevin Lefon. Very good. Okay. Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you.
And
thank
Ray,
you
of course, you too, but you've been here before.
Thank you. So, I've been here before. Yes,
you're kind of...
I belong here.
Yeah, but Kevin is a KMUN virgin, so we have to give him a special welcome.
This is right.
Kevin, where are you from? Where do you live?
I live in Portland right now.
Okay, good. Is the whole Bodhi Trio there?
Yes, correct.
Ah, excellent. So you're on violin. And who else is with you, and what kind of music are you doing?
So, thank you. So, we are the Bodhi Trio. David Eby is our cellist, and Kira Whiting is our pianist. So, we have piano, violin, and cello. So, we are playing a program tomorrow afternoon.
Sunday.
Excuse me. I'm a day ahead of myself. Yes. Sunday afternoon of a piece by Piazzolla.
Oh, yes.
Argentinian tango.
Mm-hmm.
A trio by Beethoven. For the Beethoven aficionados, at Opus 70, number 2.
Okay.
Heard less frequently than its companion trio, which is the Opus 70, number 1. So we're playing number 2.
Okay.
And finishing the program with Brahms' B major, Opus number 8.
Okay. I don't know whether you may not be familiar with this radio station, but we have classical music every day, every morning and some afternoons and evenings as well. And our sister station, twin sister, got classical music all day too. So there are a lot of classical folks out there who were not aware that they could catch these fabulous concerts at the Lunds.
Well, the problem, of course, is that we have a relatively small venue, as you say.
Yes.
And so we have to get names, if people put in their name, say we'd like to attend, and we see if we can fit them in. And to do so, our partner in crime is Anne Lederer.
Ah,
and the thing to do is to email her, Anne Lederer, A-N-N-L-E-D-E-R-E-R, mm-hmm. at mac.com. And she will see if there's space to fit yet another group in. One thing you should know is, I was announcing it last time, the previous concert that we had, that Kevin, part of Kevin's tuition came from Dorothy DeLay, who taught Itzhak Perlman. So he's right up there. Well, I announced this at the audience, people looked, and then I said, well, the cellist was the founding cellist of Pink Martini.
Oh!
Now, wait a minute. Are you saying that people didn't know who Yitzhak Perlman was? Come on.
Well, they didn't know Dorothy DeLay.
No, that's true. But Pink Martini, of course, yeah, being, right, again, exactly, a local band and stuff. So, yeah. So did you grow up here then, Kevin, and study?
Partly. I spent formative years from age 2 to 5 in Corvallis. My father worked for EPA, based in Corvallis at the time, who later shipped him and our family to Montana. Oh. So I did all of my, after age 5, all of my growing up and learning in Montana.
Mm-hmm.
But I finished my graduate degree at University of Oregon.
So did you start on violin as a child?
I did. I found my mother's violin when I was 7 years old in her closet. And I said, Mom, what is this?
I love
and
it.
She just happened to have a yoga class with one of her friends in the yoga class who was a violin teacher. So it was, that's how it all happened.
Oh my goodness, how lovely. Now, and did your mother still play violin or not really?
She had played in her childhood into college, and then put it aside and got back into it to help me and my brother also, mm-hmm, who was learning. And then she now says she remembers the day that we passed her up.
Oh,
so she no longer plays.
I see. So did you fall in love right away with that violin and with the ability to create music? Were you able to create music, or did it just Jack Benny squeaks at the beginning?
Well, I think every violinist is a squeak in the beginning. And,
and some go on that way.
And some go on that way, yes. And then the those that go on that way find their way to me as a teacher, I suppose.
Ah, there you go.
But this is the other thing, Carol, you should know that through the munificence of the Friday Music Club and its organization, they put together a program to get string tuition out here. And Kevin has been coming once a month to teach string players in the orchestras,
goodness,
and individually. And here, maybe he can address that.
Wait, you've been coming from Portland to Astoria.
So once a month, I've been coming out since September was our first time.
Wow.
And I'm working with 7 students on a one-on-one basis, but with up to 20, 25 students in a group workshop. And
wait,
so we've been,
wait, is this like through the school or what? Where are these? Where is this happening?
I've
never heard of it.
From the orchestra, Corey Peterson and his wife,
okay,
have been very important
Columbia
in
River
making
Symphony,
stuff happen.
Probably. Uh-huh.
And Jenny Lund has been bullying everybody to get in.
Well, it's what a fabulous opportunity, though. Yeah. So,
well, it's been really interesting and very enjoyable for me. I get to work with students either one on one or in the group from age. I think the youngest is 12, and the oldest is in their 70s. And we're all coming together, and we're talking a lot about, you know, things such as the impediments to practice. What gets in our way of practice? Is a busy schedule really busy, or is it in our head that's keeping us from practicing?
Oh, man, this sounds like more than violin. This sounds like a life lesson.
Yes, I think we've had this feedback already.
Yes, clearly I could use some of that. Time management, I believe we call
right.
it. So, and you also teach in Portland.
I do. So I teach it. I do a little bit of traveling in my teaching. I teach at University of Portland, Pacific University, and then I'm just starting this term at University of Oregon.
So when you picked up your mother's violin at the age of 7, did it occur to you rather quickly that this is what I want to do for life? Or was it like, I'll do it a little bit and then I'll move on in life?
That's a great question, because I often tell this story. You know, when you pick something up in new and you don't know what the effect it's going to have on your life, mm-hmm. And that was me growing up, and I discovered, and in looking back now, I see that I discovered that it was something that I enjoyed and I was good at, and I had a little bit of a small fish in a big pond, or big fish in a small pond syndrome,
mm-hmm.
I suppose,
mm-hmm.
and I was doing well and I was being encouraged, and perhaps maybe not as challenged as I could have been, but maybe if I would have been challenged more, I wouldn't have gone on.
That's right.
And when I left high school, I had been, you know, a lot of recruitment pressures to go to universities and conservatories, and I was a bit afraid of that, I
mm-hmm.
think.
Mm-hmm.
So it took me a while to find my path, and when I did, I did other things in college until I discovered that, hey, music is really what I need and want to do.
And
that was, so that light bulb moment that this is what I meant to do came to me at a little bit later age.
Well, we're very, very glad you're here, and you are here this weekend, this Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Lunds. If you are interested, and you should be, because in addition to the fabulous music, the view is extraordinary, and so are the goodies, but more about that another time. AnnLetterer@mac.com, or give us a call here, 503-325-0010. We got to go. Thank you so much for coming in, Kevin LaFon and Ray Lund. And this is Carol KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, coastradio.org, your community radio station.